Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everyone, to another fresh, hot, be careful, don't drop it episode of Deep Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
And breaking news in the world of gaming, Link, Legend of Hyrule, has announced he is running for sheriff. When reached for comment, he simply said, "Yeah." However, his campaign office did say that he has a very strict anti-drug policy, specifically pot in general. This comes as a surprise, seeing as how he is also charged with 795 cases of vandalism, mostly involving pottery, and at least three separate instances of breaking into sacred tombs. Welcome to gaming.
Nice. Well done.
I want to thank our sponsors before we get too far into it. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S. Plus, great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. Or, I mean, maybe not forever. If you want to trade it in or sell it later, that's fine, too. We're not your dads. And they just updated their rewards program. You can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Welcome. It is June. Summertime is officially here.
Mm-hmm.
I got my guns out because the sun's out. Chad.
Yo.
You doing any wrecking lately?
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby.
So welcome to the Demo Derby where I... Well, I guess really this time I didn't wreck it up too much.
Oh.
It was kind of light duty.
Oh. You
know? I played Instant Sports Plus Demo. So the short version of this, I liked it. I mean, not all of it, but enough of it that honestly I could see purchasing it down the road.
Nice.
As like a relaxing pickup and play kind of game. So Instant Sports Plus Demo drops you on a tropical island. Who doesn't like that? And then gives you stuff to do. That's even better. So there's mini golf, which controlled impeccably well. There's jet ski racing, which was fun and fast, a bit like Mario Kart, but without all the ridiculous and unnecessary power-ups. And a flying mini game in which you shot balloons that would then turn your team color. That would probably be more fun if you had a couch co-op person to kind of play with.
Okay.
Which you can do. You know, that by itself almost sold the game for me. That
nice.
I could hand somebody a controller and say, "Hey, play with me." Seems that along the way, there'll be a host of other activities to engage the player. Collecting bugs, fishing, bowling, beach soccer, table tennis. There's an island to explore, shopping to do. There don't seem to be any kind of enemies other than the other players. So it really just paints itself as a relaxing game for folk who want to game, but for whatever reason, don't want to rip the heads off of various Greek gods. I mean, definitely the demo and possibly the game for this one.
What console?
PS5.
Okay.
I know it's also available on the Switch and probably a few others as well.
Okay.
But I got the demo on the PS5.
Okay. Cool.
Nice.
I'm happy you enjoyed yourself.
Me too.
After these last couple demos, I was worried about you.
Oh, man. I was starting to think that they only put demos up for games that they know are trash.
Well, I've got a review, and I know that Justin has a short review. But before that, Justin.
Yes.
Have you been spending any time on Reddit lately?
Oh, always. And thank you for asking. So I don't get to play many games, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge of video games that I think is useful to the gaming community. So I've been going through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think need an answer in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. This month's question is, what are some games with protagonists wearing a mask? What truly is a mask? Well, it's something we use to hide ourselves from others. Some may use a smile to mask their sadness. Others may use bullying to mask their own insecurities.
Oh, son of a...
Really, we all wear masks. We present a different version of ourselves in different situations. It could be said we never really truly know someone, or in fact ourselves. A mask is, to quote Billy Joel, the face of a stranger, and we love to try it on. Oh, also Metroid, Mass Effect, and Halo and Mortal Kombat.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You had me in the first half, not going to lie.
Yeah. Had me going there. All right. Dishonored's good, too. The first Dishonored. It's got a mask.
Yeah. I'm partial to the Batman games.
Batman? Spider-Man?
I thought that was a little too on the nose for me, so I thought I'm going to branch out a little bit here.
Well, I mean, on the nose, but still above the cheek line.
Well, yes, clearly.
Yes, Hal, of course I know it's you. You think because I can't see your cheekbones, I don't know it's you? Green Lantern's underrated. I don't care what anyone says. All right,
the director's cut is underrated.
Fine. The director's cut is underrated. We can agree on that. All right, well, Justin, go ahead and continue holding on to the sharing stick. I understand that you've got a short review for us.
What makes you think I've ever let go of my sharing stick?
Okay. All right. Well, the podcast is now marked as explicit, everyone, so just heads up.
And I was being good. So, for my spouse's birthday, I got her her own Nintendo Switch because I was tired of her and the child arguing over who got to play.
You should have seen that coming.
But now that he has his and she has hers, they can go to their respective corners and I can play the PS5.
There we go.
It's a win-win for Daddy.
All right.
But in all of that, I downloaded or purchased the Mario Kart 8 DLC, the expansion pack.
Yeah.
And over the next year or so, they are going to be releasing and downloading more tracks to play. Some brand new, some retro from older versions of Mario Kart. They've got two up right now, and one of them includes Coconut Mall, which is one of my favorite levels just because it's fun.
Yeah, from the Wii.
From the Wii, yeah. There's a few DS and 3DS levels on there. It's just, if you're really into Mario Kart, and Mario Kart 8 is a fun version, if you're really into Mario Kart, spend the $20, get the expansion pack, and when they're uploaded to the Nintendo server, they'll automatically download to your console.
Cool. Yeah, you can see some of those in action in the latest Retromantics, which is up on our YouTube channel as well.
And we're not talking like two or three more. We're talking overall 40 more levels.
Yeah. It's a real good deal. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's a way to kind of make up for the fact that we're not seeing Mario Kart 9 until 2025.
Okay.
I'm just guessing because Mario Kart 8 is selling so well, and it came out on the Wii U, and then it came back out on the Switch, and they have no reason to sell a Mario Kart 9 until Dos Switchos, or whatever they're going to call it. Switch Dos. The Sui.
The Toggle.
The Swatch.
The Doodad.
The Doodad. Okay. All right. Put a pin in that. That'll be a good roundtable for future. What bad name can we come up with for Switch? All right. Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
All right, Chad, any reviews besides your demo?
No.
Okay, all right, so got a couple here. First, Pokemon. gotta catch them all.
So they tell
me. Say.
To be the very best, you gotta catch them all. This is a franchise that has been around since the original Game Boy, if you want to feel old. And
who doesn't?
I mean, really. See, kids always want to feel like an adult, but when they get there, no. But
adulthood's overrated, kids.
Yeah. Pokemon has kind of had this weird relationship with its fans in that each new release gets this insane reception. But it is immediately followed by, you didn't do enough different. Or, it's more of the same. Or, okay, that Pokemon is literally a bag of garbage with eyes on it. And I am not joking. Look it up. That is an actual Pokemon. Chad just gave me a look. No, I'm not kidding. There's a garbage bag Pokemon.
He's Googling it. I haven't seen it personally, but Darren, I believe you.
Thank you. Well, while he Googles that. With the Switch came new opportunities. And so...
Trubbish?
Yes. Trubbish.
Trubbish?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's its evolved form?
What's its evolution?
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Evolution. Garbodor.
Garbodor, yeah.
Yes!
All right, so with the Switch came an opportunity to do something different. And with the success of Breath of the Wild and the ongoing success of Dark Souls-type games, Game Freak decided, what if we made Pokemon, but terrifying? And I give you Breath of the Pokemon Legends Arceus. Yeah, that's the actual title. Pokemon Legends Arceus starts with you falling through a hole in space and time, going back to early civilizations. And to just give you an example of how different this game is, as far as narratively speaking, every time you start a Pokemon game, you are met with the words, Pokemon are wonderful, helpful, and mysterious creatures. In this one, you are met with the phrase, Pokemon are terrifying, dangerous creatures. In this game, unlike other games, in other Pokemon games, you can find Pokemon by walking through the tall grass, and then they'll jump out and you can fight them or whatever. In this one, you use the tall grass because you, my friend, are the predator. You can sneak up on them, throw, you know, Pokeball at the back of their head to catch them without them ever putting up a fight. But if you try to catch a big one, and there are big ones, and by big ones I mean alphas, and by alphas I mean they will kill you. They're not going after your Pokemon. They will kill you.
Okay, pause.
Mm.
You said you hide in the tall grass because you're the predator.
Yes.
Does that mean in every other Pokemon game they're the predator?
They're supposed to be.
I need another beer.
Yeah, yeah. They're supposed to be the predators. That's why they won't let you leave the first town unless you have a Pokemon with you, because it's dangerous. But now you find out just how dangerous it is, because these creatures will not only attack your Pokemon character, you know, your Pokemon buddies, they will attack you. And the fights in this one are no joke. They definitely decided to up the difficulty. You're going to get your whole team knocked out pretty fast. A lot. There are boss fights where, I wish I was making this up, there are boss fights where you are throwing a combination of balls of mud and balls of special sleepy dust on these giant enraged monsters, because you can't use your Pokemon against them. They are essentially gods, and you have to basically get them to calm the F down in order to restore, I don't know, balance to the force or something. I didn't pay too much attention. It's a Pokemon game.
Look, I'm sorry, I'm still upset about Trubbish.
Yeah, it's fire. Trubbish is in this, by the way.
Of course he is. Or it is.
I thought it was actually kind of a remarkable decision to take you back in time with one... This is stupid. So... It's always been assumed that the technology in a Pokeball is what traps the Pokemon, mm-hmm. right? It's technology. So why is it that Professor McWeirdhat decides to tell me that no, what happens is it's an instinctual reaction by the Pokemon. You throw the ball at them and they shrink down to try to avoid it and end up getting captured.
I'm going to ignore that you said that. I'm not actually invested in Pokemon. I've never played a game, never seen a show.
Yeah.
I'm just irritated by the laziness of Trubbish.
Yeah.
I watched Care Bears.
There's... Should I tell them?
Go for it.
There's a keychain one.
There's a what?
There is a keychain Pokemon.
God.
While he looks that up, I will say that for all of the ridiculousness that I have listed, it is a rather engaging and addictive game. Your Pokemon all level up with you. There's a crafting
Cliff
element.
Key!
Yep, you found it. There's a crafting element. There's side quests and all this stuff. And it plays kind of like a modern RPG, except, you know, with Pokemon that used to be cute and cuddly, and now I am running for my life from. So I'm in the process of playing the game. I haven't beaten it yet. But as it stands, Pokemon Legends Arceus is, in fact, a video game featuring Pokemon. I can't give it a grade yet. I haven't finished it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. You all right over there?
Existence is futile. Nihilism is the philosophy forward.
Well, on that happy note,
Kent!
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
Oh, boy. Welcome to another edition of Darren's Pile of Shame, where I play through games that I either meant to revisit or those I've purchased, sometimes more than once, and never got around to enjoying. And this year, it's the year of the games of the year. Every month, such titles also fall under that special designation. So today I ask you, how well can a universally praised, revolutionary for its time game released 27 years ago hold up today? In short, I'll tell you yesterday. Go listen to the comic segment. In the meantime, let's talk about the time-traveling epic known as Chrono Trigger. Released in 1995 on the Super Nintendo, it's a turn-based RPG following the adventures of Chrono. Kind of a bad name.
Seems very on the nose.
Gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert.
I bet he has a trigger of some kind.
Well, no, spoiler alert.
No, it's just he's easily angered by things.
Oh, you wait until I actually get to what the Chrono Trigger is.
Oh.
But he's a boy. He's a boy caught up. Spoiler alert. The Chrono Trigger is an egg that allows them to reset time.
Well, it's instinctual, see?
Anyway, Chrono is a boy caught up in a wild adventure after going to a festival and bumping into Marl, who is a princess in disguise doing her best Princess Jasmine in the Agrabah market impersonation.
Princess in disguise.
You know, it's a classic tale of boy meets girl. Girl inadvertently opens a hole in the fabric of time and space. Boy tries to save her and keep her from replacing her own great-great-great-grandmother on the throne and thus erasing her own existence. Boy saves girl. Boy brings girl to present, but is immediately put on trial for kidnapping. And eventually, boy, girl, and boy's totally platonic other female friend jump into another hole in time to escape. You know,
yeah,
same old,
they did.
Same old, same old.
All right.
Eventually, it kicks off an adventure that features a gallant knight turned into a frog, a cave woman who is into anyone she perceives as strong, a karaoke singing robot, and a sorcerer who turns said knight into said frog, but he's not really a bad guy, just misunderstood. Pretty sure he's an evil dick, but I'll go on. They have to fight an evil that has been buried inside the earth for 65 billion years and figure out how to keep it from popping up and ending the world while also keeping the paradoxes to a minimum.
Okay.
And that is just scratching the surface of the plot, which I will admit is both incredibly complex and yet not too difficult to follow. Although this is one of those games I will recommend you don't take too long of a break from it, because you will be lost when you return. It's one of the reasons that it has taken me 3 attempts to play through this game. In that I bought it on the Super Nintendo, played it for a little bit, life got in the way, and I maybe got a couple hours in, and then life got in the way. And I never picked it back up until the Nintendo DS version. Played a little bit, took a job in another town, had to move, never picked it back up again. So I got it on Steam.
Right.
I started playing it, and I ended up in a cross-state move for a new job, but I stuck with it because I can take my gaming laptop pretty much anywhere I am. You'll also be deceived by the depth of the combat system. It works like a traditional turn-based game, but Chrono Trigger features joint attacks where your party members can use their turn at the same time yours is for combination attacks. They'll be using a significant amount of magic points, but they can do significantly more damage. However, then the enemies get like 2 or 3 extra shots on you because you went out of turn, so there's a bit of strategy there. I can tell there are a lot of things in this game that would go on to influence RPGs in the decades to come. Heck, maybe they went to the future in their time car to steal some of those ideas, such as the idea for a time car. Where it stands out most is in the fact that this game has 13 endings.
In 1995?
A 1995 Super Nintendo game has 13 endings.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, the easiest is this one of those games kind of like a Far Cry where if you just sit still and do nothing in like 15 minutes, you'll win the game?
Not quite, but the easiest one to get is the bad ending, where you get a chance early on to fight the big bad. Like early on, like a couple hours into the game. You can go ahead and challenge him if you want. It's not going to end well for you. You just get absolutely slaughtered, and the game's like, and then the world ended.
And they all died.
Died horribly. Now, to get the best ending, you might want to use a walkthrough because there are a lot of things you got to do. And be sure to take the time to go back and explore when you unlock certain abilities. I forgot to do so, and as a result, some boss fights were stupidly, ridiculously difficult as a result. I was telling you about one, Chad, the other night.
Yep, you forgot a coat.
I forgot a coat. I went back to get the coat. I come back, and the boss that had slaughtered me like 8 straight times, I beat it in 5 minutes. Because of the coat.
That seems... That must have been a nice coat.
It was a really nice coat. It was velour. The art style holds up. The art style holds up because character designs were done by Akira Toriyama, who you might recognize from the Dragon Ball franchise.
And the games or the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And also in part because damn near everything from the Super Nintendo era still looks good.
Just about, yeah.
Let's just be honest. That is all aged really well.
Yeah.
Music is also good, which is key for any RPG, but if you're anything like me, you will get tired of a few tracks because you have to do a lot of grinding to level up, and you will hear the same music in certain areas over and over and over. And if you're a parent of a toddler or have had a toddler at any particular point in your life, you would know what this particular level of hell is. Overall, did I find it to be overhyped? Eh, not really. It's very well made. I can see why so many people love it. But for me, as I said yesterday in the comic segment, it's all right. It's pretty good. It's something I found myself having to struggle to get into, as opposed to wanting to get into it, if that makes sense. If I'd played this fully back when it first came out, I think I would have fallen in love with it. But as a nearly 40-year-old man, who is much more jaded than I was back then, I might just be missing some of the magic. It gets 4 time paradoxes out of 5. And for the record, Chrono Trigger received the 1995 Electronic Gaming Monthly Awards for Best Role-Playing Game, Best Music in a Cartridge-Based Game, and Best Super NES Game, earning it a spot on the list. For what it's worth, I say it's at the very least worth a rental. It's available on the SNES, Nintendo DS, PlayStation 1, iOS, Android, And the cheapest version is on Windows via Steam, which is what I played it on. All right. Be sure to listen to our other podcasts, including the comics segment, which was yesterday, and the movie segment, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to these in time, which you should be. There's also You Want Me to Watch What? Watch What? Which is the second and fourth weeks of the month. The week three podcast, which, funny enough, this is crazy, is on the third week of the month.
Whoa.
Can't. Yeah. We also have the occasional TLDR and chat and sometimes just whatever the hell we want to talk about. You can find us on Twitch at twitch.tv/DeepCavePodcast for our Let's Plays. You can check out Deep Cave Plays and Retromantics on our YouTube channel, which you can find the link to, as well as all of our other social media channels, including our Discord server at DeepCavePodcast.com. And while you're there, one, join our Discord server. It's absolutely free. You can chat with us one-on-one, meet other fans, share ideas, get early access to every episode. And while you're also on our website, please take a look at our Extra Life page. We are in the planning process now for Extra Life 2022. Hopefully this time next month or whenever the next episode goes up for the full-on, full-flavor, full-fat Deep Cave podcast, I can tell you about some of the prizes. I'm working on some right now. For Kent, Justin, and Chad, I'm Darren. Be sure to always eat the full-size cooked turkey you find in the wall. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.